Okay, 2 Chronicles 20. We'll pick up where we left off on Sunday. One of those subjects that we've been spending a lot of time on for probably, might even be close to 3 years now, has to do with spiritual warfare. It's obvious that we're in a war. The war is invisible. It's being waged by an unseen enemy. Many of the attacks that we encounter today are unseen as well. Question that emerges is, how do you achieve victory against an attack that can't be seen? Well, this is one of the points we've alluded to in this short series. On Sunday, we began a two-part series entitled Raising the Banner. Now, as we said, a banner is a rallying point for a group of people who hold to a common cause. In the case of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ is their rallying point. No matter what the battle entails, the Lord Jesus Christ leads his people into battle, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who provides victory. We've seen numerous examples of this throughout the Old Testament, and the same principle is in place today. So, getting back to the question, how do you achieve victory against an attack that cannot be seen? Well, it begins with faith. Faith claims a promise. When Christians place their trust in God's promises, they can experience victory. And the result is praise. Praise raises the banner. We began emphasizing this point in our last session. Our series is divided into three parts: the blessing, the battle, and the banner. Now, I said it in the past, Christians are the most blessed people in all the dispensations up to this point, and there are a number of reasons why, and one of them involves warfare. There are battles to be fought each day. Some of the attacks that we're going to encounter, will come from outside ourselves. Others might come from within. But no matter where the attack comes from, the blessings we've been given provide us with the victory. And as we said, the result is praise. Now, in our last session, we noted a number of examples. One we didn't touch on appears in the life of Jacob's youngest son at the time, Joseph. Now, Joseph was blessed with the ability to interpret dreams. This piece of information is important because of the attack that Joseph encountered. Because Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers, Joseph's brothers hated him. So they sold Joseph into slavery into Egypt. Now, because of the false accusations by Potiphar's wife, Joseph spent 13 years in an Egyptian prison. But the fact that Joseph could interpret dreams was reported to Pharaoh, who had a dream that he could not interpret. Pharaoh sent for Joseph, who then interpreted his dream. To make a long story short, Joseph was given a position of second in charge in the nation. But how does that apply to what we've been discussing? Well, the question takes us back to Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat was one of the few good kings who reigned over Judah. Part of his program of reform involved traveling through Judah, encouraging the people to turn back to God. Now, that was the blessing. But in the very next chapter, Jehoshaphat was faced with an attack. In 2 Chronicles 20, look at verse 1, please. Now, it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazarzon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Now, obviously, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Humanly speaking, he knew there was no way that he could overcome. He didn't have the forces to overcome three armies. So he went to God in prayer. He prayed to God based on God's sovereignty, based on God's omnipotence. He reminded God of how God drove out the inhabitants in Canaan before the people and gave the land to Abraham's descendants. He prayed to God based on God's promise of deliverance. Now, what do we see here? A prayer based on faith. Jehoshaphat needed a breakthrough. True faith in God's power and promises results in the biggest breakthrough. We've seen it a number of times in the life of David. David faced many problems. Please hold your place and go to Psalms 18. Now, Now, David's a good example of what we've been talking about. You know, David was a shepherd, as we all know. He killed the lion and the bear. He knew God put him in a situation where God's power came through for him, and that was a blessing for David that paid off later on in life because he was going to face many battles. But one of the things that David also recalled throughout all the battles that he faced was deliverance. In Psalm 18, look at verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came to his ears. Jump down to verse 16, please. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. In light of the deliverance that David experienced, what's the result? Well, the result is praise. Look at verse 49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. Praise raises the banner. God blessed David with great blessings. Throughout his entire life, David saw God's hand working on his behalf. This strengthened David's faith, giving him the confidence to apply faith in the face of the great battles that he faced and experienced victory. And the result was praise. Now let's carry that thought back to Jehoshaphat. When faced with an attack from three armies, Jehoshaphat turned to God in prayer. The answer to the prayer came to Jahaziel, who was the prophet at that time, by way of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Chronicles 20, look at verse 15. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jahaziel passed the message on to the assembly that was gathered there. How did Jehoshaphat respond? Well, look at verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Note that this whole congregation praised the Lord when they heard the response to Jehoshaphat's prayer. But what's interesting here is the fact that there was no fighting as of yet. The command didn't involve fighting. The command was to go to the place where the battle would occur. But they would not have to fight, was what was in the message. What's the point? The point here is they believed God. They put their faith in God. They applied faith to the message. And then they praised God. When the people of the Exodus were released from captivity, they not only received the blessing of freedom, they were also given articles of silver and gold before they left Egypt and clothing. Why? Because the Lord had given them favor in front of the Egyptians. But then came the battle. A few days later, the people arrived at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh had a change of heart. He and his army set out after the people. When the people realized that they were trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, they were filled with fear. But how did Moses respond? Well, he said to the people in Exodus 14, look at verse 13. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And that's exactly what happened. God destroyed the Egyptians. And in the very next chapter, the Song of Moses appears. The Song of Moses is a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. It expresses the joy and the happiness of God's people as a result of their deliverance from the Egyptian. Praise is one of the most effective spiritual weapons because it enables us to look beyond the battle and experience the victory. Moses already experienced the victory. He stated it when he said, "Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." Caleb already experienced the victory when he said to the people of the Exodus, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." David experienced the victory when he said to Goliath, "You come to me with sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." Now, what was the difference between these three men and the people who were with them when they spoke these words? Well, the people were neutralized by fear. These men applied faith to the Word of God and won the victory before the battle was fought. Same principle appears in the case of Jehoshaphat. Because Jehoshaphat applied faith to the Word of God, he experienced the victory before the battle took place. And the events that occurred the next day support that. In 2 Chronicles 20, please look at verse 20. "They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed.'" Now, earlier in our chapter, we were told, "You need not fight." Here we're given the reason why. Put your trust in the Lord. Note the sequence of events that occurred in this chapter. Judah was about to be attacked by three armies. First, Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer. Second, God answered the prayer. Third, Jehoshaphat and the people fell down and they worshiped God. Fourth, they stood up and they praised God. Because Jehoshaphat believed God's answer to his prayer, he issued the command, "Put your trust in the Lord." Easier said than done? No. No. Jehoshaphat experienced the victory before the battle took place. Earlier in our session, we touched on the subject of blessings. We said that Christians are the most blessed people in the world, in each and every day. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Ephesians 1. But many Christians today are not putting their blessings to use according to God's will. The people of the Exodus failed to apply faith to the situation in spite of everything that they were shown concerning the character of God. As a result, most of them died in the wilderness. King Saul failed to use the blessings that he had been given. As a result, he and his army were greatly afraid when challenged by the giant. And many Christians today don't take advantage of the opportunity to use their blessings to grow up and become mature men and women in Christ. And it shows in their lives. They lack the spiritual strength that results from a steadfast mind leading to perfect peace. And that establishes the potential to shrink back when confronted by the battles of life. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, experienced the victory before the battle took place. It showed in the instructions he issued to the people. Look at verse 21. "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire, as they went out before the army and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.' When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed." Even before the battle took place, on the way to the battle, Jehoshaphat appointed certain men to sing and to praise God. And we're going to see the same events that occur in another session coming up in a couple of weeks. At the moment they began singing and praising, God destroyed the enemy. In our last session, we used the word breakthrough. Because Jehoshaphat believed God's response to his prayer, he was able to break through the threat of an attacking army and praise the Lord, and God brought about the victory. How does that apply today? Well, the answer comes back to praising God. Praising God is a spiritual weapon that enables Christians to break through enemy lines. Praising God establishes the potential to break through the barriers of fear, doubt, worry, insecurity, opposition, and any other obstacle, and experience victory before the battle occurs. Please go to Joshua chapter 6. Now, Joshua had a daunting task ahead of him. His task was to cross the Jordan and enter Canaan and destroy the nations that inhabited the land. And that would involve going to war against 31 kings. It began in Jericho. But the city was impenetrable. But look at what happened in Joshua 6, verse 12, starting in verse 12. Now, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then on the seventh day they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Note that the people shouted, and then the walls fell down. Why? Well, the answer involves faith. Joshua and the people believed the word of God. They acted on it. And because they applied faith to the situation, they were able to break through the city walls, and God gave them the victory. Recall what we said earlier in the session. Faith claims a promise. When God's people place their trust in God's promises, they can experience victory. And that elicits a response of praise. But here's where another principle is in view. It's easy to sing praises when the battle is over. The German soldiers shouted when they'd conquered their foe in the first battle in the war with France. That doesn't require much of a spirit. The difference between an ordinary man of war and a Christian is this. A Christian shouts before the victory because he knows it is sure to come. Please go to Psalm 19. Question, how does anybody acquire the capacity to shout before the victory? By growing up spiritually, by coming to know the Lord. And God is not hiding, as we said in the past. God reveals himself in many ways. God's character is displayed on every page of the Bible. Coming to know God is as easy as studying the Bible, learning about God's person, God's works, and God's ways. Establishing a personal relationship with the Lord and experiencing God's grace, love, and power at work in one's life. This elicits a response of praise. Principle. Praising God based on God's character is another example of breakthrough. In Psalm 19, look at verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance is to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Song of David we have here. David looked up into the sky, and he saw the glory of God in creation. In doing so, he learned something about the character of God. that elicits a response of praise. God's character can be seen not only in God's names, but also in God's attributes. One of God's attributes is veracity or truth. God is truth. God not only speaks the truth. Truth is part of God's character. Because God is perfect, God cannot do anything that's out of character. Therefore, God cannot lie. Another part of God's character is the attribute of immutability. Immutability tells us God is unchangeable. That means God's truth will never change. God's promises will never change. God's word will never change. God promised Jehoshaphat that God was with him and that God would deliver him and he would not have to fight. Although the victory had not yet occurred, Jehoshaphat believed God and he praised God. And that was all based on the character of God. Please go to John, the Gospel, chapter 1. Nathanael is one of the disciples of Jesus. He learned something about the character of God when he met Jesus for the first time. In John 1, look at verse 47, please. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Everyone has the opportunity to learn something about God through God's Son. Look at John 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse tells us the glory of God can be seen in the person of Jesus Christ. Another part of God's character is the attribute of love. The greatest act of love was shown to man at the cross of Jesus Christ. In John 3, look at verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." Believing in Jesus Christ is the greatest breakthrough that will ever occur. And it'll lead to an indescribable joy that'll last throughout eternity. But that joy has repercussions in time. Paul discovered that one day on the road to Damascus. The events that took place in Paul's life that day affected him, impacted him the rest of his life. When Paul was under house arrest at Rome, he had the opportunity to spread the gospel, message throughout the entire Praetorian Guard. The response was amazing because his imprisonment gave the brethren in Rome the courage to spread the gospel without fear. Some of them, however, in an attempt to create distress for Paul, were doing it out of selfish ambition. But what enabled Paul to break through the confines of his imprisonment was the fact that Jesus Christ was being preached. And because Christ was being preached, Paul stated, "Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice." Please go to 2 Timothy 4. The last few months of Paul's ministry were spent in a Roman dungeon where Paul was deprived of the necessities of life. With the exception of Luke, Paul was for the most part alone, cold, and hungry. Many of his associates had moved on to other places. Demas deserted him, and Alex the coppersmith betrayed him. If anybody needed the breakthrough, it was Paul. But Paul wouldn't find it in a man. In 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And Paul received a breakthrough, but it came from the Lord. And all the pain and suffering that Paul was enduring at that time in that dungeon, he knew what his future held. And in the dying stages of his life, Paul found comfort in that. But how does that apply to our current subject? Well, after his conversion, the rest of Paul's life was a worship service, a life dedicated to the Lord. Paul not only stated it, "For me to live is Christ," he lived it. Paul not only offered praise and thanksgiving to God with his lips, in spite of all the obstacles that Paul encountered, he continued to present God with an offering of praise and thanksgiving by the way he lived his life. And at the end of his life, God enabled Paul to experience victory, even in the face of death. It came in the form of an assurance in the present. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And an assurance in the future as well. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Principle. Praising God establishes the potential to break through all barriers, even death, and experience victory. Willie Myrick was kidnapped from his driveway when he was 9 years old. For hours, he traveled in a car with his kidnapper, not knowing what would happen to him. During that time, Willie decided to sing a song called Every Praise. As he repeatedly sang the words, his abductor spewed for profanity and told him to shut up. Finally, the man stopped the car and let Willie out unharmed. As Willie demonstrated, truly praising the Lord requires us to concentrate on God's character while forsaking what we fear, what is wrong in our lives, and the self-sufficiency in our hearts. Principle. Praising God in the midst of a challenge may mean overriding our natural instincts. We tend towards self-protection, strategizing, and worry. However, worshiping can guard our hearts against troubling thoughts and self-reliance. This was the case with Jehoshaphat. When he heard the report of the armies that were coming against him, he didn't attempt to put together a battle plan. Instead, he went out to the people and he encouraged them to put their trust in God. Then he appointed people to praise God and give thanks to God. All of that was based on God's promise of deliverance. What did Jehoshaphat do? He raised the banner. And God delivered his people just as God had promised. Please go to Psalm 60. In our study of 2 Samuel, we saw that David had many victories on the battlefield. But in one particular case, when he was fighting the Arameans in the north, the Edomites attacked Israel from the south. Israel suffered a significant defeat. Look at Psalm 60, starting in verse 1. O God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You have been angry. O restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people experience hardship. You have given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. The picture we get from these verses involves a crushing defeat. It left people feeling broken and rejected by God. But David went to God in prayer. He prayed that the Lord would honor his word and give his people victory over their enemies. And God raised up a banner which David rallied the people around. Look at verse 4. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer us. And just as in the case of Jehoshaphat, God answered David's prayer. God's reply to Jehoshaphat's prayer states in verse 17, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Please go to Exodus 15. A couple more passages and we'll be closing. We'll close out this series. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Interestingly enough, God made that promise centuries earlier. In Exodus 15, look at verse 11. "Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab, trembling, grips them." God keeps his promises. Bottom line, God fights for his people. His name is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. Please go to Zechariah 12, and this will be the last passage, I think, that we go to. Fights for his people. We've seen it in the past. We'll see it again in the future. Before Jesus Christ returns, Jerusalem will be surrounded by the armies of the world. But look at what it says in Zechariah 12, starting in verse 1. "Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness. But I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, 'A strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God.'" At the last minute before Jesus returns, God will fight for his people. God will empower them, the Jews, to fight like they never fought before. Look at verse 6. "In that day I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood, and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Talk about an impossible situation. Not three armies, not 31 kings, but the nations of the world will come against Israel. The God will intervene and bring about victory in an impossible situation. God keeps his promises. He made the promise to Abraham centuries earlier. Now that should elicit a response of praise and thanksgiving. But we don't have to wait for God's deliverance to raise the banner of praise. We can praise God for any number of things, for revealing himself to us. We can praise God for showing us his glory. We can praise God for all that he's taught us, all that he's done for us, for the experience, for the privilege to experience his grace, love, and power each day. And we can praise God for all that he's going to do. And we can also praise God for every difficulty, every trial, every sickness, every loss, every form of adversity, no matter how extreme. Why? Because God causes all things, that includes every negative circumstance, to work together for good to those who love God. When Christians grow up and acquire the capacity to praise God in all things, they've just experienced a monumental breakthrough. Recall how Paul put it? Just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." When we acquire the capacity to praise God in all types of situations, we have experienced a monumental breakthrough. And because God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, God will bring about the victory. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the victories you've blessed us with in the past, the victories that you will bless us with in the future, for the greatest of all victories, the victory over sin and death, which your precious Son secured for us. Empower us, Father, to live in victory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.